Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, thank you so much for taking the helm yesterday.
Did you like the video?
You know, what's funny is I saw that, and that's the exact same joke I was going to make because it is startlingly accurate as to how I was feeling Sunday night and into Monday morning. Green pea soup and everything. And I'm not going to share too much information, like the fact that the first episode happened in my car and on my steering wheel. We aren't going to go there, but let's just say it was a rough 24 hours.
Oh, you should rank them like they rank the Barbara Streisand songs.
No ranking of projectile vomiting spells. I think I'm good. Although I do want to say, on a side note, unrelated, of course, that yesterday was my mom's birthday. Last week was my dad's birthday. Yesterday was my mom's birthday. She actually occasionally listens to this, unlike my dad. But that does not mean she's a better parent. They're both great parents. So happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom. All right, first up, Justin Guarini, Margot Siebert, and more pull into Broadway's In Transit.
Yeah, yesterday, producer Janet B. Rosen announced the cast for the upcoming Broadway musical In Transit. Leading the Great White Way's first ever a cappella musical will be Justin Guarini, Margot Siebert, Telly Leung, James Snyder, Aaron Mackey, and more. The show, which features music by Kristen Anderson Lopez, James Allen Ford, Russ Kaplan, and Sarah Wordsworth, will be directed and choreographed by three-time Tony winner Kathleen Marshall and will begin performances at Circle in the Square Theater on November 10th with an official opening on December 11th. Also of note, Deke Sharon, who is the vocal arranger for the Pitch Perfect films, as well as NBC's competition show The Sing-Off, will assume the same duties for In Transit, and he is kind of like the grand poobah of the a cappella arranging community. James, I think that lining this show's previews and opening up around the busier holiday tourist season is very smart for this show, and I really like this casting, including a handful of other Broadway alums involved as well that we didn't mention. But I'm kind of surprised that given the star power of the creative team behind it, that they didn't bring in anyone from the Pitch Perfect franchise, even one of the kind of the side stars or anyone from the Sing-Off or Pentatonix or heck, even Rockapella. I mean, not to discredit any of the performers involved, least of all Justin Guarini, who has a bit of a higher Q rating than some of the others. But I thought maybe one decently big name could have gone a long way in marketing this type of show, which is looking to play to a very specific audience, I think.
So, November 10th, December 11th, what turns into January 12th and February 13th? Maybe they're trying to really keep their costs low, small and lean and mean to make it through that January, February thing where, I don't know, we'll see what happens, but maybe In Transit will be a big hit at Broadway Con.
I think this is a show that will be very popular amongst a certain demographic of Broadway fans, a certain generation of Broadway fans. I think the younger Broadway community will probably really like that, especially because they've got some great Broadway stars in it. I'm just surprised that it didn't cast at least one bigger name to try to get some outside attention to it. Now, I think we've talked about this before. I would love for this to be successful. I don't have the greatest Spidey sense on this one, that it's going to be, you know, super huge. It almost kind of feels somewhat like a disaster play where it's trying to say as seen on Broadway and then gets picked up for regional and educational theater productions. If that's the case, more power to them. I would love to see it successful on Broadway. And while this cast, I think, is going to be super, super good in the show, I'm not sure that this cast really branches out to bring in a wider audience.
Well, we'll have to see if the good folks in the marketing department will hit all the various large a cappella audiences like the Whiff and Puffs or the Low Keys or the Opportunes or the Radcliffe Pitches or something like that. Veritones, another big one. So, market it right and keep it small and lean, and it could be a big runaway hit like Avenue Q was.
Let's hope.
All right. Next up, Ken Davenport announces plans to bring Michael Arden helmed Once on This Island to Broadway.
Yeah, yesterday, producer Ken Davenport announced plans to revive the beloved Len Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty musical Once on This Island. The production will be directed by Tony nominee Michael Arden and will have a, quote, exploration/reading in December, with Jason Michael Webb handling the music direction. No timeline or casting has been announced at this point, and I hope this one has a better fate than Davenport's long gestating A Few Good Men revival. But just throwing this out there, James, Cynthia Erivo's already won one Tony for a role originally played by LaShawn's, and I'd be okay with her making it too.
So yeah, if you go over to Ken Davenport's website, The Producer's Perspective, you can buy a bottle of sand to finance the show.
And can you really? I haven't seen that.
No, I made that up.
Oh, it sounds like something he would do.
You know, it's one of those things where you have to stop and think, did he really do that? Who else is doing that these days? All right, next up, Singing in the Rain, starring Derek Hough, is postponed indefinitely. Oh, no.
Yeah, James, as we constantly talk about new shows being announced with Broadway intentions, with nary a theater in sight, apparently one show is throwing in the towel, at least for the time being. Apparently on Monday night, producer Harvey Weinstein announced, and then Derek Hough confirmed on Facebook, that Singing in the Rain would not be coming to Broadway this season as initially planned. We knew that given Hough's casting in Hairspray Live that the show probably wasn't in the cards for the fall, but producers had hoped for an early 2016 opening. Instead, Hough is back on season 23 of ABC's Dancing with the Stars this fall, where he will be paired with TV legend and Broadway alum Mary Lou Henner. He did say in his Facebook post that Singing in the Rain was in his future plans, though. James, everyone knows that Harvey Weinstein has enough money to side in God's paychecks, so should we read anything into the fact that he couldn't muscle his way into a house, especially after some of his Finding Neverland shenanigans rubbed people the wrong way?
Maybe that's not it. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just that they couldn't find the right house or things like that. And it's not about muscling their way in. There's so many moving parts in a Broadway show.
Yeah, but so, money makes the world go round. So I have a feeling if he wanted to find a house, he could make it worth somebody's while to get him a spot.
That's so cynical of you. Money makes the world go round.
Candor and Ebb, they had nice questions.
But back to this thing, season 23 of ABC's Dancing with the Stars, season 23?
Well, they run two seasons a year. They run a spring season and a fall season.
Okay. That's what has had me. They don't do 22 of those a year, you know?
No.
Wow. Okay, so I was wondering if I had missed something. And as I mentioned, I don't watch the Dancing with the Stars thing.
Neither do I.
All right. But, you know, and we didn't talk about this. Maybe Cats could have done Singing in the Rain with that water main break that they had last week.
That would have been a much different version of Singing in the Rain, but I'm up for it.
But, you know, Cats, they don't like the water.
Don't add. I don't know that.
Feathers fur. That's, like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
All right. Hashtag ham for ham to teach us how to say goodbye today.
Yeah, today at 12:25 p.m. in front of the Richard Rogers Theater marks the end of an era as the Broadway production of Hamilton will officially retire the live Ham for Ham shows, at least for now. No word on who will be performing at their final performance, but I wouldn't expect it to be anything less than a stellar final show. James, I think we've casually discussed this in the past, but I personally believe that what Ham for Ham shows have done to reach out to a younger generation of theater fans has been incalculably important for Hamilton and for Broadway in general. So while I'm sad to see this part of the experiment go, they will still be doing the online only Ham for Ham shows. And I believe they're going to do occasional Ham for Ham shows for the Chicago sit down production as well. But I think this was a great, brilliant marketing idea and one that can only encourage younger and new generations to come to the theater. And I hope that other shows and other theaters and other producers come up with ideas similar to keep this tradition going.
I'm glad you threw in the Chicago Ham for Ham possibilities, because I was going to ask you about that. And I was also wondering if any of the regional companies around the United States, or even maybe some of the national tours, are doing Ham for Hams in various cities.
I don't know as of yet, because the tour isn't starting until later.
I mean, not Ham for Hams, but like maybe Phantom of the Opera tour or something like that was doing something similar.
I don't know. Not that I've heard. I think that would be a great idea. I mean, especially maybe on the weekends in between shows. It's probably hard during the week, but after they've been there for a week, maybe in between the Saturday matinee and the Saturday night show, I think that'd be a great idea, because it is just a great way to get to a community that might not otherwise, A, be able to afford a ticket, or B, it's just a great way to market to another audience that might catch it in a social media feed.
Yeah, it'd be great if people brought them pie.
Okay. Pie's good. Is there a specific reason for that?
No, pie is good.
Oh, okay. It's always pie or ice cream with you.
Well, today's a pie day. Tomorrow's ice cream. Okay. All right. The new Yiddish rep to revive God of Vengeance off-Broadway this winter.
Yeah, James, last week we discussed the plans for producers Daryl Roth and Elizabeth McCann to bring Paula Vogel's play Indecent to Broadway this season. That play is a behind-the-scenes look at Sholem Ash's 1907 play God of Vengeance, which courted scandal and obscenity charges when it came to Broadway in 1920 with its depictions of Jewish culture and homosexuality. Beginning on December 22nd, the new Yiddish rep will present the play in the original Yiddish at La Mama, which is next door to where it premiered in 1907. The production is currently scheduled to run through January 22nd, while it's unlikely at this point that Indecent will be up and running during that same time period, with the new Yiddish rep's production of God of Vengeance coming maybe just a month or two before Indecent comes to Broadway, it presents a really fascinating opportunity for theatergoers who are particularly interested in Broadway history to put these two shows side by side, especially if they're fluent in Yiddish, so that they can actually understand the original play in its native language.
So next up, we have Raisin, which gets a rare revival this season.
Yeah, speaking of historically important shows that you rarely see done anymore, on Monday, the Astoria Performing Arts Center announced that the Tony-winning musical Raisin, based on Lorraine Hansberry's classic play of Raisin in the Sun, will be part of their 2016-2017 season, playing May 4th through 27th of next year. The show will be joined in the season by Christina Quintana's play Evensong from November 3rd through 19th, and a new musical reading by Katya Stanislavskaya called Resident Alien in February.
All right, next up in theater and big theater is that the theater community shows that it's with her.
Yeah, yesterday, Actors Equity Association officially endorsed Hillary Clinton for president of the United States. Even though the organization has taken many a political stance in the past, this is the first time in its 103-year history that it has officially endorsed any political candidate. Equity president and future Fun Home Tour star Kate Schindel said, "Our union has historically chosen to remain nonpartisan and above the fray. But at such a critical time in our country's history, this union does not have that luxury if we hope to protect our members." So that's a big step. Not exactly all that surprising if they were going to endorse that it ended up being for Hillary Clinton, but kind of interesting that it's the first time in 103 years that they've ever done that. Then in related news, James, since you are in a much fancier crowd and circle than I am, you got an invite to a big money fundraiser hosted by some of Broadway's most powerful big money names, whom I didn't even recognize most of the names because that's how big and important they were and how unimportant I am.
Oh, no. So Monday, September 9th, 2016, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., there's going to be a fundraiser in support of Hillary Clinton, where the arts community is getting together to support her. And tickets start at $100 and go up to $2,700. And if you want more information about this, because it's by invite only, but if you want more information about it, email me, james@broadwayradio.com, and I will get you in touch with the invite people and get you on the list. All right, so that is about it for today. Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, before I do that, I do want to give one quick plug to our friends over at Behind the Curtain podcast, which is one of our Broadway radio people, Broadway radio shows. They had a great interview with our very own Peter Felicia this week. It was a great episode. I've only listened to the first half of it because I had an important date with my toilet. But it's a great episode. Anytime you can listen to Peter talk about musical theater history, it is a great listen. So check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes at broadwayradio.com.
Absolutely. I loved that discussion. And me, as somebody who has easily had 1,000 hours worth of discussions with Peter about theater, I learn something new every time I hear him speak.
Awesome.
Okay, get us out of here.
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Some Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, and I apologize for any less than appetizing discussions we had today.
All right, my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Wednesday with us, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk to you then.